Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back with Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So we have a busy show for you today. I did start to go through some of the 3,000 pages of emails of Dr. Fauci's correspondence. Very, very fascinating. Very interesting to see how the COVID pandemic unfolded. So we'll kind of talk about some of those things in a little bit. But we have to open today because apparently people are eating cicadas. Now, why is this a topic? Well, you guys know about Brood 10? Brood 10 is the generation of cicadas where there are going to be trillions. In fact, they already have surfaced from underground. They have these like 17-year cycles. And I guess they're out there. And people might be swallowing them when they're riding a bike. You know how we used to ride our bike? We're like, that's right. And bugs come into our mouths. Well, apparently, as trillions of these cicadas are surfacing, as known as Brood 10, looks like Brood X, but it's Brood 10, medical experts are warning you guys to stop eating them, especially if you are allergic to shellfish. If you have a shellfish allergy, you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat lobster, you don't want to eat a cicada. Now, I hope I'm pronouncing cicada right. Cicadas, people think, are locusts. Locusts are more like grasshoppers. And so these cicadas are not locusts. Right? Locusts swarm. They're thinner. They're longer. They look like grasshoppers. Cicadas are fatter, shorter lifespan, bigger wings. And so there's a difference. And anyway, so a bunch of them have come out in Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Washington. And now the FDA has had to tweet, say, yep, we have to say it. Don't eat cicadas if you're allergic to seafood, as these insects share a family relation to shrimp and lobsters. Now, you know, it's interesting because there's been a big push for us to eat animals, or not animals, insects. Right. Many people are like, let's avoid eating the cows, right? Which is still kind of difficult for me. You know, let's maybe, you know, hone down a little bit on the Brussels sprouts and eat some insects. Insects have a lot of protein. They give you calories. In fact, in the olden days, that's what cavemen would do. They would eat insects. If something flew in your mouth, you would chew it. You wouldn't be like, ooh. You know, if you had like a big, huge beetle, apparently, beetles are supposed to be really yummy, especially when their blood is yellow. I couldn't eat it. I would be really, really disgusted by it. But don't underestimate the fact that we have a huge amount of population that eats bugs. And they do. And you've all eaten a bug. Not on purpose, maybe, but bugs have fallen into your mouth. Bugs have, you know, I was making an arroz con pollo yesterday with rice and roni, all right? As I'm making the rice and roni, I'm teaching my son that, you know, when you dump the box of the rice-a-roni, always examine the box, because I, you know, one time this happened to me in my poor days when I bought things on sale and I bought a clearance rice box, and it wasn't rice-a-roni, but it was some clearance rice box. There were like maggots and there were insects in my rice box. And I told my son, you know, so you definitely won't throw it out. He's like, but aren't insects food sources? But yeah, don't our cats eat insects? They do, but we don't want to eat them. You know, it's interesting. I'm watching The Food That Built America, and you know how there's a Cracker Barrel? I don't know if you guys know what a Cracker Barrel is, but apparently when they used to sell crackers, they would sell them in barrels. They didn't have the wax paper. They didn't have the boxes. I think Nabisco had to come up with that, and the National Biscuit Company. But you would, crackers were a big food, and I guess the 1800s, 1900s, and so there would be a barrel. And you would grab the crackers, but the bottom of the barrel, right? Like we say, it's the bottom of the barrel, would have insects and gnats and gross stuff. So you didn't want to get your crackers from the bottom of the barrel. But if you were hungry, you ate what you could. So then eventually they had to come up with packaging to try to keep them fresh and keep insects out. And they came up with those liners and things like that. And then now we eat crackers as the day is long. But fascinating how, you know, the bugs like our food. And so it's no wonder that we eat our bugs, because bugs are on our food. Bugs are on our lashes. We just have a lot of bugs. But anyway, these Brudex cicadas are one of the world's most incredible animal phenomena. This is according to Dr. Bergensen, a university assistant professor in anthropology. And he says, in a year where few of us may be traveling to see the natural wonders like Africa's Great Migration or the elephant gathering of Sri Lanka, we are incredibly privileged to have this rare spectacle occurring in our own backyards. Brudex provides an infusion of nutrients into the ecosystem, and humans have been enjoying this event and sights and sounds and tastes for millennia. Tastes. Okay, I hear they're really noisy and people don't enjoy it at all. But bugs are a food source for 2 billion people. So for those of you that are allergic to shrimp, if you are allergic to shellfish or you're allergic to peanuts, get an EpiPen. We've spoken about EpiPens, right? It's a nice amount of epinephrine that you can just jam into your pants. Keep your pants on. You don't have to take off your clothes. You also don't have to take off the cap, per se. You could just plunge it. There's like this blue or red cap. You don't have to take that off, or yellow. Just plunge it into your leg if you start to feel like your throat is closing or you're having trouble breathing. But if you have any sort of food allergy, you know, what most people do is say, all right, well, I don't need an EpiPen unless I go to a restaurant. That looks like that's not the case, because things can fall into your mouth. So, apparently, these cicadas live as nymphs underground for 17 years. They tunnel up through the ground. They only live for about 4 to 6 weeks in their winged phase. And then they, I think, leave babies. And then their texture is very similar to shrimp and crustaceans. They don't need to be peeled before consumption or after being cooked. There are even some restaurants that will serve cicadas in your tacos. Yum. Which is why when I made a arroz con pollo, I wanted to make sure that, and I didn't include anything like that. My arroz con pollo is so good. One chef told USA Today that there's never been a complaint about the dish following an order. So for those people, this even happened in Virginia. This is even in America. People are eating. They say, I've seen every plate that comes back with them, and they've all been empty. People are really excited about eating cicadas. So I guess people are farming them, and then I don't know. But just if you're allergic to shrimp. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about the Fauci emails. Don't go away. 1-877-DOC-COLLY.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
All right, guys. We are back with Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCTORDOLLY, 1-877-DOCTALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason and Daniel who are working the dials. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So now many of you have probably had access to the Fauci emails. I was just able to see them a little bit last night and this morning. And I probably read through half of them. There's about 3,200 emails. And at first you feel a little guilty going, wait a second. You know, these are his private emails. These are, but unfortunately I keep getting asked, you know, what did he do here? Why did he do this? What was he thinking? What was, and so, you know, as much as I want to give people their privacy when it comes to their emails, I get it's such a topic. I'm being asked about, you know, some of the process and the evolution of how the government handled this crisis. So, yes, I looked at them. I haven't read them all. There's a lot of emails. And in to start, now we're going to look at both sides of it, but to start, in Dr. Fauci's defense, man, he was a hard worker. I mean, when I was looking at these emails, and he is just bouncing them from everywhere. I mean, he is getting them, you know, he's dealing with NIH, he's dealing with ABC, he's dealing with Sanjay Gupta and CNN, he's dealing with Fox News. There's all these media requests, there's all these journals asking for him to edit, submit publications, submit statements. And so just from a media standpoint, and me being a doctor in the media, I am pretty busy, and I am, you know, not even near the role that Dr. Fauci has. And so the one thing you could definitely say is, man, he busted his butt. In fact, in some of the emails, he was even saying he only had like maybe 40 minutes of wife time in the past couple weeks. So somebody wanted to, I guess, go out and hang out with him, and I think he had said, let me see here. He said, I have seen my wife for a total of 45 minutes of the past 10 days. He says the White House and HHS have me going 24/7, including Saturday and Sunday with the coronavirus. Now, this was back in early February. And so he says, hopefully we can do this some other opportunity, but this is a very bad time. And then I guess somebody joked around and said, looks like you need a break. And he goes, yeah. He said, I'm hanging in there. Feels like my internship and first year residency when I was on every other night and every other weekend, but actually never left the hospital because the patients were so sick. So, you know, this was on February 5th of 2020, which means, you know, Anthony Fauci, who, you know, is an allergist and immunology specialist, became a leading member of the White House task force in 2020. Mike Pence was going to lead this, and in fact, President Trump appointed Mike Pence, but I think when it was starting to look like such a cluster, and we had no idea if it was coming from the Wuhan lab or whatever, I think probably the Trump administration felt it safer to not put Mike Pence behind, just like with Kamala Harris and the immigration, being the immigration czar. Okay, that's like a no-win position. So it doesn't help them politically. So he didn't really, even though Mike Pence was still very active, he wasn't the one that the cameras focused on. So Dr. Fauci, as you could see the emails unfold, he becomes the focal point. He also becomes a hero. People are joking with him about the bobbleheads. They're joking with him about the, you know, or they're saying he's being honored. They want him to speak. He's being honored. So there was a lot of figurehead, role that he had to take. But then on the flip side, he also had to do the medical role. And I'm not saying this to defend him. I know a lot of people aren't really happy with him, but I have to be honest here. This was a very impossible role from the beginning. And I don't think it should have been a role at all. I don't think there should have been one Dr. Fauci. I think there should have been a task force. I think there should have been doctors that advised the Trump administration. And I think maybe the CDC should have been the focal head or the face of COVID. Now, maybe Dr. Fauci wanted it. You know, I mean, it didn't sound like in a lot of the emails, it sounded like he was working, he was just, you know, going with the flow. But, you know, to take on that role, you're not only being, you know, in the media, but you're also being political and you're trying to be a doctor at the same time. Pretty difficult. Now, of course, there was very, very concern about whether he was censored. And he was actually asked straight up, and I guess there were rumors, and in the media was saying that he was, that they were concerned that, let me see the exact quote, I apologize, that he was being censored. He said, it's been reported, not he, but this media journalist said, it's been reported by many outlets, including the New York Times. So if not true, I think it's critically important for you to say so publicly and show that is not the case. It is critical that we have faith in the science and medical leadership. Your personal integrity is at stake here in the community and the world, and is a proxy for the integrity of science and medicine. So he was put kind of on the spot saying, look, if you are being pressured by Trump, if you are being pressured, you better say that. And that was a big issue I had when he had come out during the Biden administration saying, yeah, he felt liberated, you know, because he had to watch what he said. But back in, was this April? Let me give you the date. I don't have the date of this. I think this was April 2020. He writes, I have been explicit in stating publicly that I'm not being muzzled or censored. I say exactly what I want to say based on scientific evidence. I've stated this on multiple TV programs over the past few days, including at a major press conference with many, many reporters present, including several TV cameras. I could not possibly be more public about this. No censor, no muzzle, free to speak out. Now, this was a far cry, different statement from him from January 2021 when he said the following. He said, the idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it, let the science speak, it is somewhat of a liberating feeling. So he basically implied months later that he was, you know, either censored or muzzled. Now, maybe something happened between the time of that email and moving forward, but during the time of that email, this is when mask guidance, social distancing guidance, and things were being projected by him, and he was pretty adamant saying, I'm not being muzzled, I'm not being censored. So I agree with the reporter that if a person in a medical leadership, right, is possibly being muzzled or censored, they lose their integrity. And I've said this for months now on my show, if you're going to be a doctor and you are going to be in some political arena, you have to choose medicine first over politics. And you have to, as a doctor, say what you have to say. The reason why I would have never been even, I guess, considered for a Dr. Fauci role is I would have told you guys exactly what I thought of these masks. I would have said, these aren't the masks that protect you against a pathogen like COVID. You need an N95 respirator, and the government should give everybody N95 respirators because these things don't do that much. They're a barrier, but give the people what they need. You know, follow the science. If the science says an N95 respirator is the best, give them an N95 respirator. Well, that wouldn't have gone over very well with any administration. So, but that's what I think a doctor should have said. So his opinion on masks in the emails, which is kind of interesting, was he had said masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. He was kind of right about that. I still use these, you know, because it's all I had access to pre-COVID, you know, to prevent spreading things. I didn't want somebody coughing on me. I take it in, cough it back on them, or breathe it back on them. So they offer a barrier. But he wasn't entirely wrong with that. He said the typical mask you buy at the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. There we go. It might, however, provide some slight benefit to keep out gross droplets if somebody coughs or sneezes on you. I do not recommend that you wear a mask, particularly since you are going to a very low-risk location. So somebody was asking, I think it was a contact, a friend, wanted to know if she should mask up when she travels. And then she wants to know, I guess, does China need donations? Or should the money go to research and vaccines? He said, your instincts are correct. Money is best spent on medical countermeasures, such as diagnostics and vaccines. So here he was in an email where this was, I believe, February 5th, on where he stood on masks. And what he said initially was correct, you know, but he also should have said publicly they didn't want people hoarding. We don't trust the American public. We think you guys will hoard. We think you guys are going to, you know, not let the hospital staff be able to have enough devices. And so right now, until we can get you guys N95 respirators, you know, these things are flimsy. You could use them if you wish. In fact, in another email, a dean of a medical school asked him, what should their policy be on masks? And he said it should be voluntary. Voluntary. Encouraged, but voluntary. So he really didn't seem to be a fan of the mask that we wear or the mandates. And then with social distancing, he had some comments on that as well. He said social distancing is not geared to wait for a vaccine. It's just to kind of keep you safe temporarily. So interesting stuff, but it shows how it was kind of chaotic and how I think we really need to rethink how we use figureheads and what role we force them to play, especially when they need to be doctors first. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As the economy begins to rebound, the May jobs report is showing that employers are stretched thin to find workers. After a slow gain in April, the economy added 559,000 jobs last month.
We were expecting something closer to 650,000 or 700,000 jobs.
Economist Gus Boucher says there's still a solid gain and expects that hiring will pick up. President Biden says the growth is proof his economic recovery plan is working.
America is finally on the move again.
But some experts are noting there's still a disconnect between employers who need workers immediately and the unemployed who might be looking for better jobs with better pay. They also might lack child care or be waiting for the virus to completely go away. The number of people looking for work fell in May after 3 months of gains. This is USA Radio News. Another meeting is planned for Monday after President Biden and Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito spoke by phone. They're trying to reach a deal on infrastructure. The White House says Capito offered to increase the proposal by $50 billion, but the president said it didn't meet his objectives. A life-saving rat who won a medal is calling it quits. With more, here's USA's Mike Fortier.
An African giant poached rat named Magawa retiring this month after 5 years of sniffing out landmines and unexploded ordnance in Cambodia. Magawa, credited with clearing over 1 million square feet of land and detecting over 100 landmines and unexploded ordnance, the Belgian nonprofit that trained him announcing the retirement on Thursday. It says while the 7-year-old Magawa is still in good health, he has reached retirement age and is clearly starting to slow down. Landmine detection will continue, though. The nonprofit says 20 new landmine detection rats have been cleared to continue Magawa's work. From USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We are back on Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly's show. So when some of us were applying for aid for our businesses, we could just, for the U.S. government, apply and go through our bank, and this was last year. You didn't have to tell them your gender, I don't believe. You didn't have to tell them your race or your color. You could apply. Didn't matter what your color is, what your race was. Then, with the next stimulus package, during the Biden administration, there was more money infused to small businesses and more money given to states to help businesses. But the states, many of them had programs that had urged only women apply, only quote-unquote disadvantaged. I mean, obviously everybody was kind of disadvantaged during the pandemic. They lost their careers. They lost so much. But minorities, and so there was priority status given to those who were not men, and especially those who were white males. Now, I believe somebody sued. A lawsuit was brought by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty on behalf of Antonio Vitolo. He's an East Tennessee restaurant owner. He owns Jake's Bar and Grill in Harriman, Tennessee. And he was denied relief funds because he's a white male. Now, a federal appeals court ruled in favor of a conservative legal group that sought to stop the administration from giving priority status based on somebody's race and somebody's gender. The U.S. Sixth Circuit Appeals Court issued a 2-1 opinion Thursday that said the government cannot allocate limited coronavirus relief funds based on race and sex. So this lawsuit brought on by Vitolo targets the 3-week period from May 3rd to May 24th, during which the $28.6 billion Restaurant Revitalization Fund was processing and funding requests only from businesses owned by women, veterans, or socially and economically disadvantaged individuals. Eligibility was slated to open broadly afterwards, but the SBA reported on May 18th that it already received more than 303,000 applications, representing over $69 billion, with nearly 38,000 applicants already approved for more than $6 billion. So they were going to be running out of money. Applications, 57% came from women, veterans, socially and economically disadvantaged business owners who had applied for $29 billion in the $28.6 billion program by May 12th. Vitolo had immediately applied for aid on May 3rd, but they said he didn't qualify to receive it yet because it was white male. I guess they had to wait until they were going to start looking at males. So he challenged the Small Business Administration's use of race and sex preferences when distributing the restaurant revitalization funds. The government concedes that it uses race and sex to prioritize applications, but it contends that its policy is still constitutional. The majority opinion, however, said we disagree. They said the government is trying to allocate limited COVID relief funds on the basis of race and sex. The Court of Appeals held it cannot, and that we are likely to succeed on our claim that this program is unconstitutional. So the ruling says the SBA shall fund his grant applications if approved before all later filed applications without regard to processing time or the applicant's race or sex. Now, in a dissenting opinion, Judge Bernice Bowie Donald said she found that the Restaurant Revitalization Fund was a carefully targeted measure necessitated by an unparalleled pandemic that would not have caused the plaintiff's irreparable harm. She said it took nearly 200 years for the Supreme Court to firmly establish that our Constitution permits the government to use race-based classifications to remediate past discrimination. It took only 7 days for the majority to undermine, they say, that long-standing and enduring principle. So this is where this gets tricky. This is where you need to be very, very careful when you pick on race and gender. You know, people think on one end this is really progressive, it's very liberal, it's going to help everybody. But then in the same note, all right, there are individuals out there that do not identify as male or they do not identify as female. And so if someone is a transgender male and he's white, does he not get the funds? Now, somebody could say, no, they're covered. So who then, which white males, how are you defining who doesn't, you know, how, that means somebody is actively evaluating you for your race. What if you have an African-American grandparent? Do you qualify? Do you not? I mean, it to me would be a logistical nightmare for any government to try to discern where somebody is on the race, in terms of, you know, the race and where they are. I mean, does somebody need to be at least 50% minority? as whites are becoming a minority, are they going to use the term minority? You have, I think the issue is that they want to appear that they are not going to discriminate again. And to not discriminate again, if it's, you know, written in stone that this money will only or firstly go to those who were previously discriminated against, the government can't look discriminatory. See that it's but they're being discriminatory anyway. There's how does somebody, right, you know, operate with this guidance that okay, we're only going to give, you know, we're only going to give, let's say, you know, women. So a white woman will be able to qualify before an African American man? I mean, or is it that just everybody but white males get filtered out of this? I mean, the once something like that is established, it's unfortunately a couple steps away from there being, again, race used as a factor just years down the line. This is not something that it shouldn't be done this way. If you are concerned about communities that are underserved, and there are communities that got hit really hard with the pandemic, because not all states got hit to the same degree. Some had Republican governors that opened the states up. Some had Democratic governors that were a lot more lenient in terms of who had to close, who didn't. You know, Nevada was strict, but not as strict as California. And so people suffered to different degrees. So maybe certain communities that suffered more will have access first. But don't put race in there. You know, if somebody's worried about somebody being economically disadvantaged, well, that's easy. All right, you have to be of this salary to qualify. You have to have, or your total assets. If your total assets are above X, Y, and Z. Now, mind you, an asset could be a home that's, you know, mortgaged and a car, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're in the clear. But if you have liquid assets that you could live on, you know, that maybe I would use that rather than race. I mean, if you really have to pick and choose because there's not enough funding, you could maybe look at, okay, you know, financially, where are you? And we'll figure out a sliding scale on what you need. But to say, look, you know, we're only going to, you know, give certain races or genders, we're already approaching gender differently. All right. We're not using male, female. Okay? I mean, there's now a new language when it comes to how people identify. So how do you approach somebody who identifies as male but is trans? So I believe they get themselves in trouble with this one. 1-877-DOC-SALLY. Don't go away.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Jaina, Jaina asks, if they've been vaccinated, can they refuse being tested for COVID at work? All right, so this is tricky. Work questions are very elusive and a little chaotic right now because a lot of them haven't made their ways to the courts. And so there's supposed to be many rules out there preventing employers from mandating things and forcing you to do something. But once it's under the realm of quote-unquote public health, they appear to have that liberty. Now, where this is going to get very, very sticky is your being vaccinated or your being tested, okay, helping public health? Now, as a whole, if you're coughing or sneezing and you've been vaccinated, that coughing and sneeze could be a cold, but it could still be COVID. So it would be nice to know if you have COVID. If you've been vaccinated and we see that COVID cases are going down as a result of millions of people vaccinated, and we believe that the vaccine is curbing the spread and the growth of mutants, then there is a huge argument that vaccines are helping public health. On the flip side, okay, if a vaccinated individual can still get COVID, can still carry the virus, then is there 100% proof that your being vaccinated helps the public? And can your employer use that as a reason to fire you? So that's where the courts are going to later, if they're even going to be bothered with it, are going to have to decide. If in the under the realm of public health, you could expose others, we as an employer have a duty to protect our employees, which, by the way, don't get all mad at your employers. The employers are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They will be sued if they don't protect the employees and provide a safe work environment, and they could also get sued if they force you to do something you don't want to do. So employers are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Right now, the government is offering guidance that pretty much allows people to be excluded from routine workplace screening and giving employers a little bit more leeway to do as they wish when it comes to mask mandates, etc., which I agree with, all right? If an employer wants everybody in masks, that's their choice. If you don't want to work there, don't work there. I mean, you know, if you want your employer to have everybody masked and COVID vaccinated before you go back to work, and you don't feel like everybody walking in there is going to be safe, or you weren't able to get the vaccine, so you don't want to be exposed, then you decide what you want to do for your exposure. There's only so much an employer could do in terms of making someplace sterile. But to answer your original question, does a vaccinated person need to be tested? Well, it all depends on what we're testing for. If you're having symptoms and you're sick, and the medical provider needs to figure out what's wrong with you, yeah, you should get tested. If there are people around you who are unvaccinated, and you're sneezing and coughing, maybe you're having a fever, maybe you're having nausea, maybe you're having diarrhea, and, you know, you don't mind about the lack of privacy, and you don't mind, and you'll say, look, I'll get tested and, you know, make sure my coworkers are safe. Yeah. But if it's because, you know, you're working from home, you want to know if the vaccine worked or not, again, it's very academic at that point. The vaccine protects you from being hospitalized. The vaccine does not shield you from ever getting the virus. And I personally believe that there are many people out there that have been vaccinated that still got COVID, but they just didn't get deadly COVID. So for some experts, they're like, well, then who cares? Don't even test. In fact, the CDC is stopping testing the mild cases. In fact, if you're asymptomatic and you were exposed, they don't even want to test you. They don't even want to go there. Now, from an academic standpoint, I think that would be fabulous data. I think it would be really nice to know how many vaccinated individuals are still walking around with COVID. I think that would be very, very vital, you know, but the CDC is overwhelmed. They got enough on their plate, and they think probably it'll open up a can of worms. So when I have patients call me saying, yeah, just send me back to work because I've already had COVID, I've already been vaccinated, and I say, no, your symptoms could be COVID, they get mad at me. They say, no, I've been vaccinated, I don't have COVID. And I'm like, you don't understand. Vaccines just prevent you from being hospitalized or hopefully dying. It doesn't necessarily mean you can't walk around with COVID and still spread it. Now, some studies are saying the data is very low and it's very minimal. But we've seen, like with the New York Yankees, a bunch of people vaccinated still showed up positive. We also saw with some legislatures. So if the CDC has stopped after 10,000, say, look, we're just not going to pursue this anymore, to me that means it's going to be a lot. There's going to be just so many of them. So the CDC says that if you're fully vaccinated and if you've been exposed, you don't have to quarantine, you don't have to test. But if you have symptoms of COVID, yes. If you have a fever, if you have cough, you have fatigue, diarrhea, nausea, body aches, those could be symptoms of COVID. So to answer your question, if you're sick and your boss wants you tested, your choices are the following. One is to test. Two is to just quarantine. Even though you're vaccinated, but you have symptoms, to quarantine for the 10 days. Or C is to get a new job. But it's very, very frustrating. I get that because you guys went through that whole thing. You went through, you know, all the rigmarole of getting vaccinated and you want to be done. And you don't want somebody sticking something up your nose. And you also want privacy of not the whole, you know, department knowing if you have COVID or not. And even though jobs are supposed to keep that private, if you aren't at work for 10 days, everybody could figure it out. So we've lost a lot of privacy. We've lost a lot of our rights. But I am of the notion that, you know, this is a virus, and none of us are 100% immune, and we can't have false information out there that vaccines mean there's no way you could have the virus. But we also can't force employees and employers to be between a rock and a hard place. Now, in terms of travel, if you're going to another country, they may still want you to have a COVID test. But if you're coming to America or you're leaving America and you've been vaccinated, America isn't requiring you to have a COVID-19 test. Now, if you are traveling, though, and you're positive, then you have to isolate. So the next question is are we going to get any data then on those who have been vaccinated? Well, as less people get tested, we're going to get less data. In fact, when the CDC stopped testing after 10,000 people, there were already reports saying, oh, yeah, you see, it's a minuscule amount. Well, no, they stopped testing. My patients that call in on telemedicine, when I tell them to get tested, they don't want to. Nobody wants to get tested. So if vaccinated individuals aren't getting tested, we're not going to have the data. So we won't know. So our data might come from people traveling, but the CDC said, if you've been vaccinated, they're not going to force you to take a test, which is nice. But other countries may say, oh, hell no. With these variants, just because you're vaccinated, that doesn't mean anything to me. So the moral to all of this is expect everything to change. Whatever is the current guidance is going to change. Right? As we have the variants, as we get more data, if any, will be at least, you know, evaluated in terms of vaccinated individuals and COVID. But you, if you're sneezing, coughing, having cold symptoms, whether you're vaccinated or not, yes, it could be COVID. I would suggest getting tested. 1-877-DOCTOR-DELLY, don't go away.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.